The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. What's happening?
Not much, man. Welcome back.
Thank you, man. I just want to thank Ben Wilson and Jared Smith, who did a wonderful job.
Yep.
In my stead. The NBA and the NHL called, and they said, oh, we've resumed our playoffs, so you might want to come back. But with Ben, we discussed we took the opportunity so that he could say Chatrier as many times as possible on air.
Yep, he did, yes. He pronounced it very well, yes.
Both of them are awesome, so thank you to both of them. Kelly says we got 2 hours of Caitlin Clark talk this morning.
That's right, yep.
Okay, all the tentacles, political.
All the tentacles.
All the tentacles. That's what we're doing for the next 2 hours. It's great to be back here at the lovely D. We have much to discuss. Much to discuss. We'll discuss the French Open that passed as Iga and Carlitos get home for us. We will update the June most wins Major League Baseball bet that we have on the Astros. It's early in the month, so we're not going to spend too much time on that. We will, Kelly, we will have a segment that could get awkward. Kelly Bidlin went rogue on a VSiN contest of a season-long baseball bet. Where he did not consult me and he made a bet, and well, we're going to change that today. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
Can we do that? Okay, we'll do that later. I've been workshopping some intros to that segment. We'll see which one you prefer. We'll see which one is least, the least awkward of the bunch. We'll do that coming up as well. Plus, we have Mark Borchardt on baseball. Of course, Mike Somich, who always comes here on Monday, and then Jake Hahn to talk Stanley Cup final with us. That's coming up momentarily. Let us begin. By the way, Dan Hurley going to make his announcement during the show today either as well?
This is so dumb. Yeah, apparently, reportedly.
Yeah. There's zero betting implication to that, is there? Right?
Like, was not to me.
By the way, what would you put the odds at right now?
Man, I have no idea. I would think it's with the report. It's such weird reporting, too. I guess the way it's been reported, I would think it happens. Like, who makes a... Like, why would you schedule a time for an announcement to be released? Like, he did an interview with ESPN yesterday about his interview. Like, wait, you never see stuff like this. So
shouldn't every college coach, because every college coach, when they took their job, took it as, this is the job I coach, and then I recruit kids from high school. That's the gig. And now that job is completely different, right?
Oh, yeah.
That job is I recruit players from other teams, and I also have to recruit the players on my team every year.
Yeah.
So it's a completely different gig. Now, I wonder if that's different for Dan Hurley at UConn, because he is building a dynasty, and he's the king of that region of the country, or is still $100 million in Los Angeles, California enough to lure him. So I wonder. We'll see.
It is fascinating. I think it's a fascinating just situation and discussion from both sides, right? The NBA side and what it means for the Lakers. And then just it's another college basketball, college football example of, like, these guys don't want to be there anymore. Like, they are hamstrung by everything that goes into the recruiting NIL transfer portal stuff, that it's become a pain in the ass to coach in college.
I know I haven't been here for 5 minutes, but they show games behind Kelly's shoulder, and they're showing a game. I'm going to tell you what happens here. It's the Skins and the Raiders. It's an RFK. It's in the middle of the 83 season. The Raiders will go up 35-20, Kelly, and then put all your money on the Skins money line at that point.
Why do they keep showing random old Skins games here?
It's this one. 17-point outburst from the Skins to win this. By the way, they end up losing the Super Bowl to the Raiders later that year, but that's a different story. All right, NBA last night, game number two. Kelly, I'm sorry to bring this up, because you got Mavericks futures. But we must. So here's the dealio on this. Game one, of course, the Celtics blow out the Mavericks. Big time, take a 1-0 lead. Last night, heading into the game, Luka dealing with a thoracic contusion, a right knee sprain, and a left ankle soreness. And by the way, it's a good thing that he didn't have any bandages on before the game to indicate any of that.
And also, so like, also his, like, random bleeding throughout the playoffs, too.
He looked like Elmer Fudd in a cartoon. Like, what are you doing?
Hey, man, whatever it takes.
So, in case you missed it last night, Mavs went up 13-6. That would be their high point. You're like, yes! Come on, Mavs, tie this thing up. They're up 7. That was the end of that. Celtics eventually tied it at 22. Mavs led by 3 at the end of the first quarter. Luka had 13 by that point. He was 5 of 7 from the field, 1 of 2 from behind the arc. Celtics took their first lead at 36-35. Luka had 20 already at that point. 20 of the Mavs, 35. He was 8 of 12 at that point. Celtics led by as many as 5 in the first half. They only led by 3 at the half. At halftime, Boston was 13 of 13 from the line. Dallas was 5 of 11. We don't often talk free throws, but there's your difference between a three-point lead and a three-point deficit.
It's been a factor in both games so far.
Yeah, Luka had 23, 3, and 3 at the half. Keep in mind the 3 assists. He was coming off a game in game 1 where he only had 1 assist, and that was kind of the knock on him and, you know, didn't get his teammates involved. Here it was 23, 3, and 3. Hard to blame Luka for anything, though, because he's the only thing going on offense. Drew, by the way, Drew Holiday had 17 at the half, Porzingis 10. Tatum only had 5 on 2 of 9 shooting, but he had 8 assists. So that was his thing last night. Celtics beating them any way you want to at that point. 65-63 in the third quarter, Celtics. They go on a 10-0 run to go up 12, 75-63. That was the key stretch of the game. Boston led by 9 at the end of 3 on a Pritchard 3 at the buzzer. Mavs did cut it to 7 at 90-83. And then finally to 8 after the Celtics had gone back up 12. They cut it to 8 again at 97-89 with just under 5 minutes left. You're like, okay, this could still happen. But then 2 threes, one from Drew, one from Derek White. It was a 14-point game, and you're like, Katie bar the door. Mm. I even have it written down right here, Kelly. Katie bar the door. It's over. And then, strangely, it's not over because Dallas goes on a 9-0 run, even though while they're doing it, you're still looking at the clock. You're like, I don't know if they can get there. And they have an opportunity to go to get another bucket to cut it even further down from the 5-point deficit. But P.J. Washington on a drive to the rack with 50 seconds left, smothered by both Brown and White, a Brown bucket on the other end, put the Celtics up 7. That was it, 105-98, and that was the final score. Luka 32, 11-11 in defeat, but 8 turnovers. And Drew Holiday, the big star for the Celtics yesterday, 26-11. You're not getting anything from Lively here, Kelly, in your previous run-up in the Western Conference portion of this playoffs. He was so key for the Mavericks, including the game he missed, right, where it was magnified how much they needed him.
I'm so glad you brought this up. Nobody wants to talk about that for some
reason. They're not getting anything out of him.
No, no. He's been the third best player on the team throughout the playoffs.
Yeah.
And he's a non-factor. Game 1, he was a disaster. It was clearly rookie, deer in the headlights, NBA Finals. He was stupid fouls all over the place in game 1, played himself off the court. And, he's been a non-factor as much as Kyrie has. That's their second and third best player, have been absolutely useless so far.
Do you think Kyrie got in his head about this whole, like, his departure from Boston and then just sort of the back and forth with the fans? Because when they flash the camera to him sometimes, he's getting into it with the fans. And you're sort of like, okay, you should probably be above this. But it seems to have affected him in some way.
It's kind of weird because I thought he said all the right things coming into the series.
Yes,
and then,
did.
Like, yes.
Yes.
Like, especially last night, you're like, okay, this feels a lot like old Kyrie.
So here's my question to you, sir. Down 2-0. The Mavericks are north of $6 on an adjusted series price. They are 1.5-point favorites, by the way. Oh, by the way, Game 3 back at the American Airlines Arena in Dallas on Wednesday night. This resumes on Wednesday. Remember, on a Wednesday, Friday, Sunday schedule this week, if necessary, on Sunday. We have seen this in this postseason. I don't know if I'm being prisoner of the moment. If there's ever been a postseason in any sport that I have had less feel for, I don't know that there's one worse than this NBA playoffs.
I think that is an understandable statement.
So if we've been here before where a team's been down 2-0, as miserable as the Mavericks look, as much as the Celtics look to have every answer for the Mavs, could you make a case for betting the Mavericks on the series on the adjusted series price? Could you make a case for them in Game 3? I'm assuming yes to the latter. And could you see this series still being long, or has everything we've seen been actually real and is likely to continue?
The latter.
This is a man with the Mavericks futures ticket.
I tried to, after Game 1, yeah. I tried to say, okay, that was complete Boston domination. Hey, domination from beginning to end on all ends, but it's one game. Don't overreact. What did we see change last night?
Nothing.
Nothing. Like, this is, they have broken the Mavericks from what they have been for the past 6-7 weeks. This is not the same team we've watched. The pick and roll action that they live everything comes from is not there for Luka. He has to do everything in ISO. And then even then, you'd expect he'd get a little bit more help from a guy like Kyrie Irving, who's giving absolutely nothing. It's everything that's worked so far is completely broken right now, and sure, could it happen? Could they look like the team they did? Maybe, but this Boston team is...
Devil's advocate. 13 of 53 from three.
Yeah.
13 of 53. Remember, they averaged 12.3 makes, threes per game, that is, for the postseason coming into this series.
Mm.
That could obviously turn, what do we say, the only thing that matters in the NBA in a box score, really, just show me the three-point scoring, yeah, and I could tell you probably 90% of the time who won the game or not. Or is the fact that they're taking away the perimeter three such a big thing that that's actually likely to continue?
I mean, there's, yeah, like, there most of those, yes, there are some wide open misses. But, like, there's also some really forced, ugly threes.
Yes.
And also, it's from guys, like, the biggest thing is, I think you've seen through two games, it's the Celtics have figured out this Mavericks team, and then, oh my God, there's a massive talent discrepancy across the board. When you talk about get down from the stars, the talent, like, you can't, you're relying on some of these role players Dallas has, and they haven't been able to do anything. Meanwhile, there's six guys on Boston that could fill it up at any moment. I mean, Boston hasn't shot the three ball well yet either.
That's the thing.
And we know that game's coming. There's a Boston 45% game coming.
But you could see Dallas winning game three, though. Yes, maybe.
Nothing tells me to believe in that, Gil, except for past trends that we've seen.
If you could get an adjusted prop price on this 1983 game and do Joe Washington overs, I would bet them right now if I were you, this Raiders Skins game. Coming back, baseball with Mark Borchardt next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch that requires no timeouts or half times. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. What makes Zyn number one? It's available in a deep roster of varieties, including wintergreen, spearmint, and citrus. And you can choose between two strengths, 3 milligrams or 6 milligrams. Zyn is made with only 6 simple ingredients and is easy to use. Plus, it delivers up to 1 hour of nicotine satisfaction per pouch. Zyn is discreet, so you can enjoy them indoors or out. Never miss an at-bat or game-saving catch with Zyn. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn, Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Skill Alexander, Kelly Midland, live from Bar Canada at the D. Bar Canada, the barrage here at the D. Lovely downtown Las Vegas, numbers game. We get tweets at Beating the Book. We're going to read a few here. Numbers guys. What's that term for when you win the game in tennis after you broke your opponent's serve? I heard that a bunch on Sunday. Shows you how good my memory is. Is it early onset dementia for me? Consolidate the serve. Once you break the serve, Kelly, what you want to do is you want to consolidate the serve. It's a two-pronged approach. When I play Wishnev, did I ever?
Wait, I got to ask it again. So you get the break, and then you win the following game where you're on serve?
To consolidate the serve.
To consolidate.
Because if you break and then you get broken back, what'd you really do?
Yeah.
Two-pronged
approach. You didn't get anything.
Ever tell you the two-pronged approach when you play Wishnev? Wishnev says this about himself. He goes, Gil, here's how you beat me. You find the fat man, and then you hit the ball where the fat man can't get to
it. I was going to say, it's probably a similar strategy to beating me.
That's what he says to him.
I ain't running after that.
Rich PSM, he doesn't like Kyrie very much. Let's just put it that way. I can't really read the tweet. But he doesn't really like Kyrie that much. And he thinks there's karmic retribution happening to Kyrie in this. And then Will Hill, our own Will Hill, adds there's also a ton of length to throw at him with guys like Holiday. So that has an effect on Kyrie as well. I was, looking at NBA MVP. I'm going to ask this. Jake Hahn is going to come on. We're going to talk about the Stanley Cup final here momentarily between the Panthers and the Oilers. And one of the questions that I'm going to ask him is, all right, is now the time that we just bet on the Oilers on the adjusted series price? Do we bet MVP, or excuse me, Conn Smythe now on the adjusted price? Like, is this what we've been looking for?
Well, I think he's all in on the Panthers.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the point being, we are looking for betting opportunities. So in the NBA, we talked about, okay, do you take the you know, does anybody still believe in the Mavericks? Take them at north of 6-1. And then you look at the MVP market. Maybe there's a way to bet it by proxy there, but Luka is exactly 6-1. Like, he's exactly the same price as the Mavericks coming back and winning it. So there's no bet there either, right?
I'd still bet it.
You'd still bet Luka.
Still bet it. Should I be that guy?
Wait, but you just told me you're not going to bet the Mavericks on an adjusted series.
I'm just saying,
price.
If you were going to bet it, I'd still bet Luka in MVP instead of the series price.
Right, but if it's the same exact thing, why would you bet the MVP?
It's the same exact thing, I'm sorry. Yeah. There was a slight difference at the odds I was looking at.
Oh,
this
not
morning,
the ones I was
yeah,
looking at.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
is there? I'll bring it up. Is there a reality, Gil, if this gets to 7 games, where Luka Doncic could win that award in a losing effort? I know it has not happened since the first time, right? The very first NBA Finals that we had.
The answer is no.
Okay.
I don't think we're like that anymore.
I don't think we are.
As like a voting body in any of these leagues?
I don't think we are either, especially because of what you just said. It's like the awards rules we always talk about.
What
happened? Right?
If we've learned one thing on this show or on this network through the years, is that we, as a sports betting network, are way more nuanced, perhaps to our detriment, right?
Mm.
Way more nuanced on these things than the actual voters are. The voters are like, losing player. They don't even think about it, right?
And I only bring it up in that exact situation, right? Like it would have to be 7 games. There's no way he'd even get considered if it was anything less than that.
Would you bet Drew Holiday at 7-1 right now?
If I had to make a bet, I would bet yes, that is the bet I would make.
And again, we shouldn't as bettors get wrapped up. Oh, but you could have had him at 100-1 before the series, and you could have had him at 20-1 before game one.
He also didn't have the stats.
He also didn't have the stats. I think that's the better bet, obviously, at this point.
I actually think it's pretty fascinating right now with, you know, like, you can get a long number on him. I know Jaylen Brown's gotten a lot shorter, but like, all right, at DraftKings +175 and +750. I mean, you could take a piece of each. I think I'd be feeling pretty confident, actually, with those two right now.
Can we talk a little tennis?
Yeah, absolutely.
A little autopsy here on the French Open. Iga Swiatek gets home. So does Carlos Alcaraz. Both were the short shots. Carlos was the short shot to win it on the men's side. Iga was the favorite. By the way, just to give you an idea of what she's favored next year in the French Open, what her number is now, -175
a
year out.
Holy hell.
And again, if you're just landing on the show, you're like, well, big deal. You called those. They were the favorites. We've kind of had a history with Iga, from her being 33-1 in 2020. By the way, people don't remember this. 2 years ago, we were still hitting her at 7-1, tournament after tournament in Miami and at Indian Wells. So this young lady has made us more money than almost everything else combined.
-175? Wow.
Yeah. So when Drew and I did the Beating the Book podcast on the French Open, that was one of the things that was the big thing we were pointing out, which is because Drew has the historical numbers on this. Iga Swiatek on clay is now rapidly approaching Rafa Nadal on clay, which, again, I said it 4 years ago on this show when she won at the French Open. I said she will win double-digit majors. People laughed. She's halfway there now. She's won 5. And I said that because she's going to win so many French Opens, it's not going to be funny. I also then said she's going to be the greatest of all time, and I tweeted out again this weekend. I said she is on pace to do that. Now, some people apparently don't like the word, ignore the phrase on pace, but she's absolutely that. 5 majors. She just turned 23. 9th all time, ranked number 1. 22 singles titles already. And look, this is one of the great calls ever, and so she keeps getting it done. Now, she did it easy peasy. I mentioned after the Osaka match last week, that should have been the final. I think that bared out. She spent 10 hours on court. 3 were against Osaka, 7 hours in the other 6 matches. And then in the case of Carlos Alcaraz, he becomes the youngest player to win on all 3 surfaces, so slams on all 3 surfaces. And he does so in the final against Sasha Zverev. There's a couple other stats with him that are noteworthy as well. 21-year-old, the 4th youngest 3-time men's major champ in the Open era. 7th man to win a major title on all 3 surfaces. We were betting him on clay court tournaments at the end of the world, you know, 3-4 years ago when he wasn't a thing. And now here he is doing this. And I feel terrible for Sasha Zverev in the sense that Zverev still hasn't won a major. This was only his second finals in a singles major. The previous one was in 2020 in front of no fans at the U.S. Open. It was the tournament where Djokovic hit the line judge, and so he got disqualified. And so it ended up being Dominic Thiem and Sasha Zverev in the final. And they both knew because Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic had won all the majors through their whole careers. They're like, this is our one chance to win it. Zverev went up 2-0 on him. Then in the fifth set, Thiem forced the fifth set. Zverev had it 5-4 on his racket and gacked it. And so now, yesterday, we had Alcaraz. So we hit the +450 parlay of Iga and Alcaraz. And by the way, our other guys, Djokovic, the other parlays we had with Iga, Djokovic got knocked out of this tournament with a knee injury. Yep. And Casper Ruud ended up having a stomach bug against Sasha Zverev. So, like, you know, I don't know what could have been also, right?
Yeah.
But yesterday, and you have to be honest about this as bettors, yesterday it was 2-1. Like, Zverev had a terrible game on serve, 2-1 in the fifth set. Alcaraz breaks him. And then that fourth game, it's love 40. So Alcaraz is about to give it back because Zverev is about to break him. He's got three chances for it. And there's Alcaraz gets a couple points, and there's a double fault in there, and the umpire comes in and overrules it. And when they show Hawkeye, it wasn't clear on the broadcast if it nicked the line or not, but I think it was a poor overrule, and it changed the whole rest of the match. And so Alcaraz got it on an umpire overrule. I know what you're going to say. Clay, can we just do Hawkeye on clay anyway?
Like, what's the point of having the technology? Like, what the hell?
Because they're French. Égalité. Avantage.
Like, avantage.
Châtrier.
Like, it's so hard for us to sit here. We bring this up every football season and stuff. But like, we know the technology exists. Why don't they use it? And then the sport that actually uses it goes to the French Open. They're like, nah, let's throw it out.
Here's the lesson learned, though. Had a great hard court season, up 26 units. Gave some back in the clay season. Was not a good thing overall, even though it finished with a flourish with a lot of these matches. Here's what I knew but didn't abide by. I still bet a lot of dogs on clay. That's what my numbers say. But here's historically what this graph is showing, and I'll just explain it, which is clay, and specifically the French Open, is where dogs just don't manifest. And if you bet dogs between the years 2010 and 2023, you would have hemorrhaged money at the French Open, specifically on Roland Garros. I did not pay attention to that enough and just went with my numbers to a fault. And so I personally, just speaking for myself, I have to remember that and be more humble to that moving forward into next year and beyond. We'll come back. Stanley Cup playoff with Jake Hahn next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. For those of you in New England, start betting smarter. Right now, you can upgrade to a VSiN Pro annual subscription for just $199. That's down from the regular price of $240. Plus, we're throwing in an extra month absolutely free with a VSiN Pro subscription. You'll get exclusive access to premium analysis, expert picks, and advanced betting tools that'll give you the upper hand all year long. And here's the big news. Our NFL betting guide is coming out later this month. This guide is your ultimate resource for the football season, packed with detailed team, division, and conference analyses. And, of course, best bets for the upcoming NFL season. Don't miss out on this limited time deal. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now and use promo code ANG to claim your discount bonus month.
Promo code ANG as in a numbers game.
That is VSiN.com/subscribe now and use promo code ANG. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Jesse Welch. Hey, Kelly, in regards to the finals MVP, I'm doing exactly that with Drew and Brown. I have big numbers on White and a very small ticket on Drew at 150-1, and I'm just adding on to Drew while building a big position on Brown. So Tatum's winning for sure, he says.
I like the strategy, and I like your thinking. That's how you should always think.
Auburnist, again, I cannot emphasize this enough. We have no love for other SEC teams. That's from the Auburnist.
From whatever. You can say that, Auburnist. That's fine. I still watch football games where it's SEC. But Canada again, won't even do it for themselves.
But again, that's the big revelation of the show today.
It really
Canada
is.
Could not care less about other Canada teams.
I'm so glad you asked that question. Like, that was, I don't know if I was expecting that answer.
I was. That's why I asked it. Because I've spent time in Toronto. I'm like, this is not a unity thing around Edmonton.
I got a lot of tweets. I think it was last week before the Stanley Cup started, where I'm like, look, I think I'm going to bet the Panthers, but like, I kind of want the Oilers to win so this silly streak can like end. I got so many tweets like thanking me for sticking up for Canada as a whole.
I told you the opposite of this is our buddy Todd Wright, who's often on the show, and I hope he's listening right now. Todd, greatest radio show, sports radio host of all time at ESPN, All Night with Todd Wright. It's like his biggest stand is a Canada team will never win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And like he is adamant about it. So I think he's like secretly dying. He's like, please, Florida win.
Forgot about that.
Oh, Mike Alvarez. These are always good. I'm a Ron Burgundy through a Mike Alvarez tweet. Trying to justify the amount of producer's Gil sounds like a person who has had many girlfriends and tells themselves it has to be them. If you were a pitcher, your whip would be over 1.00. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. Charlie D, USA number one, going after Ben Wilson, knocking ego. And then Derby Day Day. Derby Day Day said, thanks to ANG, I went back-to-back with the go-to futures ticket, NCAA tournament champ, top five from the formula, and IGA French Open. Note, if you place this the week of the Super Bowl and sprinkle on the winner, you can often bump the payout to 25-1. And then Mike Alvarez also chimes in with, welcome back, Gil. It seems like you exchanged doing your show from Bar Canada instead of Circa for your additional weeks of vacation. Well, at least you don't have to dress like a cowboy in December like you did at the South Point. Okay.
Oh my gosh, I was having that conversation with someone over the week over the weekend. I have no idea when the Cowboys are in town or not anymore because we're not at the South Point.
We're not at the South Point. We don't know. We don't know when the Bowlers are in town.
Yeah.
We don't know the Cowboys. So much we don't know.
Just to confirm real quick before I screw this up again, Braves to miss the playoffs, 8-1.
Yes.
Correct.
Had I been here last week, we could get an 11-1, but if had I been here last week, we wouldn't have gotten in this mess in the first place, I think is what it comes down to.
Taking too much vacation, clearly.
By the way, we'll never talk about this contest again unless it goes well. All right, so here we go. Mike Somich joins us, as he always does, kind enough to do so each and every Monday. Somo Bomb 18. Oh, there's the quick Somo Bomb right out of the chute. It's Mike Somich, co-host of The Handle, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, man?
Oh, not too much, guys. It's a fun weekend there in Vegas. Matt Brown back, so got to get my new normal partner back there for The Handle. Got to watch some very good games. Excited about the finals game two tonight as well. I'm sorry, the NHL finals, Stanley Cup finals. They're the real finals to me. I'm not worried about this NBA stuff.
First of all, Matt Brown was at Châtelier. He went to the French Open.
Yeah,
let's just point that out.
The rest of Europe, too.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the rest of
Matt Brown European Tour, yeah.
Man,
golf
man.
In Scotland,
yeah.
French Open, wow.
A lot of humble brags this weekend from Matt Brown on The Handle. Not going to lie.
I bet.
All right, but before we get to your hockey thoughts and beyond, Belmont, did we have the winner?
Oh, no. No, not even close. I didn't like Dornoch one bit. It's a horse that I was fading in the Derby. I didn't think he wanted that mile and a quarter distance. And, he benefited from the track on Saturday. Saratoga was a speed-favoring track all day. If you listen to Chad Brown, he had an interview where he talked about how he was really disappointed, thought the track needed to be more fair. But you can't take anything away from Dornoch. I mean, he faced pressure early. We saw Seize the Gray go out early and collapse. Mindframe was there early. The two of them battled it out down the lane. And Dornoch able to get it home at 17-1. If you had all three winners in the Derby,
and
you just parlayed them together.
Oh yeah,
$100 paid $36,000 this year. Pretty crazy for those three Triple Crown winners.
So okay, well this then, obviously the numbers speak for themselves, and so I kind of have my answer. But what I was going to ask you was just from a anecdotal handicapping perspective, the numbers obviously corroborating the ones you just mentioned. Do you feel like this Triple Crown as a whole was the furthest distance from handicap to result? Like, I just feel like nobody knew a damn thing this summer with these Triple Crown races.
We had a weaker crop than normal. So when you have a weaker crop, you're going to see just horses trade off wins, right? You're not going to see the consistency that you want in the top end performances you want. The fierceness is effort in the Derby completely changed things. So yeah, I do think that this was a very difficult year to handicap because you had to take into account other factors outside of just the horse's talent. I mean, we're always talking about Trip, but you see the Trip that Seize the Gray got in the Preakness. I don't know a single person that told me that Seize the Gray was going to be lone on the lead in the Preakness, and that ends up happening. The way Dornoch won to me was just as astonishing as Dornoch winning in the Belmont, being able to be on the pace with three other horses and facing that pressure. So just it made it a much more difficult year to be able to get through the Triple Crown races and be able to get to the winner. But the nice part about this and what I love about horse racing, if you were right once, You had a phenomenal Triple Crown season. Yeah. All it took was one of the three. And that's what I love about horse racing is you don't have to be right every time. You just have to be right a couple times, and you're going to be able to make money.
We don't often talk about, like, horse races in the future, but Breeders' Cup, like, do you have thoughts on that already?
The Breeders' Cup is going to be a mess this year.
Yeah.
The older horse crop, not phenomenal. We saw White Abario come back. He ran pretty poorly at Saratoga over the weekend. We saw National come back at a mile, a National Treasure come back at a mile. I'm not sure he wants a mile and a quarter. It's going to be a very, very interesting Breeders' Cup Classic setup here. I'm not a fan of any of these three-year-olds going against older horses, so we'll see what happens with them down the line. But it's going to be a fun Breeders' Cup season because it's absolutely wide open.
I want to crescendo to hockey for next segment, Mike, so I just want to get the other stuff out of the way. Do you have NBA Finals thoughts or bets at this point?
I've got the Mavs at 24-1. I didn't hedge coming into the series. Regret that a little bit. After one game, I hedged Celtics minus a game and a half because I was pretty impressed with what the Celts were able to do in the first game. You watched the game last night. I mean, it's clearly apparent the Celtics are able to at least slow down Luka and Kyrie man-to-man. And without having to send doubles, we're not seeing the same looks that we saw from these role players to be able to shoot threes. You look at the two games, everyone not named Luka Doncic in game one shot, what was it, 3 for 15, I believe it was. In game two, it was 2 for 17. Like, you can't be shooting like that from the outside for these role players and expect the Mavericks to win. It's a terrible sign when P.J. Washington has scored more points than Kyrie Irving has in both game one and game two. And on the other side, it's just a lot of quality looks for Boston. They're getting a lot of very good shot attempts, and they're missing some, but they're making enough to be able to get it done. You got guys like Drew Holiday can step up, Porzingis can step up. So it's going to be tough for Dallas to be able to turn the tide. Obviously not impossible. They haven't lost on home court yet, but I was really impressed with what Boston was able to do defensively in both game one and game two against Dallas. So we'll see where that line ends up. Right now we're at the Mavs laying 2 points. Porzingis has a leg injury.
Yeah.
He expects to go. I think that's an important part of this series. But if it's a fully healthy Celtics team, it's hard not to want to back the Celtics again.
I love Porzingis saying, I would die out there. Weren't you the guy that's missed the rest of the postseason? Die out there?
Really? I don't even know if it matters.
I don't know.
I'm at that point. I don't even know if it matters.
But this is why I asked this of you in the first segment, and I'll ask this of Mike right now, which is, you know, we've all seen many, many series where a team is down 2-0. We've seen it in this postseason. And, by the way, the finals history on this is teams to overcome a 2-0 deficit in the NBA Finals, 5-31 all time. The 2021 Bucks against Phoenix were the last. The LeBron Cavs over the Warriors were the most recent since then in 2016. But only five all time. I just don't feel anecdotally like, okay, they still haven't lost on their home court. Like you said, no series starts until you lose on your home court. I feel no one is giving them a shot. Like, nobody.
It's funny how the narrative has changed so quickly in two games. I mean, you had people shocked when people were picking the Celtics
right at
the start of the series. And now two games in, people are telling you crazy if you think the Mavs have a chance. It's recency bias. You'll see it quite a bit. I don't think the Mavs are completely out of it, but they're going to need something to click, right? They're going to need Kyrie to be able to get absolutely on fire and force them to start doubling up Kyrie and Luka to be able to set up open shots for other teams. Or you're going to need Porzingis to get hurt. I do think that Porzingis' health is still a key factor in this series. He allows them to protect the rim and stretch the bigs out, something that Dallas just can't handle.
Man. Dallas favored by 2.5 in some spots in game number 3. That is on Wednesday again. A Wednesday-Sunday schedule this week. And then, Wednesday-Friday schedule, Sunday game 5 if necessary. And then it goes to Thursday and the following Sunday, by the way, game 6 or 7 as they drag this out. Mike's got baseball plays. He's got hockey thoughts and bets. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are this close to crowning an NBA champ, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN. That's code VSIN for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander is Kelly Bidlin. Real quick from Corbin, because he's a Canadian. He wanted to chime in on this. He goes, I said, just wanted to comment on the whole Canada cheering for the Oilers thing.
The other side? The other side's weighing in.
He said, as someone who lives an hour outside Edmonton, it really just depends on your level of fandom. I think the casual fan of other teams doesn't care and would like to see the Oilers win. That's his opinion on that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Andy McNeil, our old friend, said, I have futures bets on the Stars, right? He had them during the Western Conference Finals. And he was like, but for Edmonton, I'd like to see them win.
So, like, even like that makes way, like, that makes way more sense to me still, though, than the SEC thing.
Well, but
where it's like Alabama, LSU, like battle like crazy on October 27th, and then we're going to like root for each other. Come
oh,
playoffs.
I agree with you completely. By the way, Andy McNeil lives in Edmonton, and Corbin lives right outside of Edmonton, so I don't know.
Like, any Canadian rooting for Edmonton makes way more sense to me than the SEC thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. By the way, I was saying earlier on the baseball, the season-long VSiN contest baseball thing, that Kelly went rogue and then, you know, might have had a couple beverages the other day and was like, sorry, not sorry, Gil, but I bet on the Astros, when he didn't even bet on the Astros. And then off-air, you said, I have a better drinking story.
So that was Friday.
Now. Yeah.
And then on Saturday, we had a little cabana going at Stadium Swim. Dustin had some friends in town. So
Dustin Sweetelson.
Dustin Sweetelson. So he asked me about this like a month ago if I wanted to go in on with him. Yeah, no problem. But, you know, thank you, Derek, Mike. They hooked it up as they always do. Before I knew it, I got there. There was 20-something people there. It was a rager. But the great Mike Somich was in town. I did not know he was going to be there.
Wow.
So I got really excited that I was going to be able to watch the Belmont, which I had bet Sierra Leone, like, on the opener here at Circa. I was going to be able to watch this with Mike Somich, right? So I'm in the pool. I got my beer going in the pool and everything, Gil. And I know Mike's back in the cabana. And I'm like, okay. The horses are starting to come out. I've got just enough time to get to the bar, get another drink, and then get back to the cabana to watch this with the great Mike Somich. By the time I got back, the race was already over. I was like, what happened? I was like, when's the race starting? Oh, it's over?
You ever watch a horse race with Christopher Felica?
No.
Oh.
He was all over the coverage this weekend, though.
He was looking good on the Fox coverage of it. You will be in the middle of a conversation with him. You'll forget that there's a race about to happen. You'll be like, yeah, so I had the chicken parm, and it was really – and all of a sudden, he'll go stand up, and he'll start smacking his thigh. And be like, get up three. He'll say it like 10 times. You're like, what is happening? Oh, my God. Mike Somich can relate. SomoBomb18 on the Twitter machine, co-host of The Handle, noon Eastern, Saturday and Sunday with Matt Brown, following Matt Brown's European tour. Somich joins us once again. Samo Bombing. How you doing, man? Good for you to I appreciate you staying, I should say, with us for two segments here. Let us begin with baseball. Your two baseball plays for the day, sir.
Yeah, I got two bets in baseball today. Seth Lugo is going to regress at some point. Maybe it might not be today, but with the price that we're getting against the Yankees right now, I like the Yankees quite a bit here. They're laying -130 in the full game. You got Rendon on the mound, taking on the Royals. I looked at the Yankees first five here. You can get Yankees first five -0.5 run +110 right now. And like I said, look, Lugo is going to regress. It may not be today, but against this lineup, I think it makes a ton of sense to take a shot against him here. He struggled against the Guardians last time out. I think he struggles against the Yankees here today. So we took Yankees first five -0.5 run there. And then Blue Jays Brewers, as a Brewers team that's been playing well, especially at home, we got Berrios on the hill for the Blue Jays today. He is not, as if you look at home road splits for him, not nearly as good when he is on the road as he is when he is at home. So we're going to go against him here on the road. Take the Brewers, just play -115 for the game. So just two baseball plays today for me. Thought it was a little bit tougher of a slate today than what we've seen over the weekend.
Yeah, I'm conflicted because I got the Astros in June, but they're at San Francisco. What am I going to do? My head's going to explode. go Astros. I'm rooting for my bet. Okay, hockey. We always say it. NBA Finals, plural. Stanley Cup Final, singular, because it means more. Panthers up 1-0 after a 3-0 win the other day. Oh, by the way, I should also mention this. This is what I kept wanting to mention. I aired on the NBA schedule for the finals. Game 3 is, in fact, Wednesday. Game 4 is, in fact, Friday. But Game 5, if necessary, parentheses, is on Monday. They skip the whole weekend and will play it on Monday, Game 5. Game 6, if necessary, Thursday. Game 7, Sunday. It's a wacky schedule. Thank God for hockey. Game 2 tonight. Mike, how do you see this?
Well, it's an interesting one here, Gil. I thought the Florida, if you heading into this series, had a big time edge 5-on-5 against Edmonton. You watch game one, Edmonton really controlled the play 5-on-5. And you saw that in expected goals. They won expected goals 2.81 to 1.63 in 5-on-5 play. If you look at the full game, they won expected goals 5.81 to, I believe it was like 2.3. So just dominated the expected goals, yet lost 3-0 on the scoreboard. Bobrovsky plays phenomenal. Now, part of that is the game flow, essentially. You've got a Florida team that went up 2-0 in the second period. They sat back a little bit more. But what was concerning to me was, when they had a lead against the Bruins, when they had a lead against the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Finals, they kept their foot on the gas. They were able to consistently forecheck in the offensive zone, keep the other team hemmed in their own defensive zone, and make it very difficult for them to get offensive opportunities. We saw Edmonton's speed really change the game and allow them to be able to get out of the offensive zone or defensive zone consistently better than what we had seen other opponents for Florida. So going to be interesting to see if Florida makes any adjustments today, if they try and get the forecheck going a little bit earlier. It's one of those scenarios where the longer this series goes, that forecheck should slowly wear down Edmonton's defense. You're not going to see the puck come out of the zone as quickly. I'm not surprised. We've seen some movement toward the Oilers here, that we've now seen the Panthers minus 135 for the game. They were minus 148 earlier yesterday. So we've seen some Edmonton money come in. And for me, it's the right time to come back on the Panthers. This is a Florida team I liked coming into the series. And even with the issues that I saw in that first game, you have a clear advantage in the net. You've got a clear advantage of defense. And they were able to hold that Oilers power play off the board. I thought that was a big key coming into this series. If the Panthers are able to win special teams or even break even in special teams, they will be able to win this series and consistently win. I still want to take a piece of Florida every way I can. I've got them plus 125 to win the cup. I played them minus a game and a half, plus 160. Played them in regulation in game one. I'm going to play them to win in regulation again today. Right now over on DraftKings, get plus 105 for Florida in regulation. I'm probably going to sprinkle the minus 1.5 as well, especially if we get that plus 185 price, because I do want to find a big plus money number. I think Florida's just a better team in this series.
Wow. Okay. And I was saying earlier with Jake Hahn, the opportunity to play Conn Smythe by proxy. So if you have conviction on Edmonton, where again, their adjusted series price is north of $2, but Connor McDavid is north of $3 for Conn Smythe, don't you play McDavid, or is there enough doubt in your mind that it could be someone else like a Draisaitl that you don't do that?
I would blend it. So I agree, and you can create a better plus money number if you blend McDavid and Draisaitl together. Draisaitl's 18-1. So you don't need to put a lot to be able to get still a solid plus number on him. And so you can blend McDavid and Draisaitl together, put like 80% McDavid, 20% Draisaitl, and you're still getting a better number than what you would just to bet Edmonton to win the cup. If Edmonton wins, one of those two guys is going to have a big time game. And the difference is Draisaitl scores goals. Connor McDavid has a ton of assists. So if Draisaitl goes out and let's say he has multiple 2-goal games or scores a hat trick in one of these games, he's going to get some love for that. However, in a situation where it's, hey, you could go one, you could go the other, it's always going to be McDavid. So for me, if you want to play the McDavid heavier, I agree with it, but I still think you have to sprinkle Draisaitl because he is the one who can score the goals, whereas McDavid is not going to have all of these goals. He's going to have a lot more assists for Edmonton.
Okay, interesting. And so conversely, same question, if you have conviction on the Panthers, where Bobrovsky is about plus 220, and then you got Barkov at plus 280, that's not as clean, is it?
No, the Panthers is actually quite messy because the media would actually give it to Tkachuk if it's all things are equal. And that's a third player that you have to start bringing into the fold here. Bobrovsky should be the favorite after the shutout in game one. We'll see if he's able to keep that going throughout the rest of the series. I mean, he played phenomenal. That was the best game he has played all playoffs. Not saying he can't do it again, but let's say he gives up 4 in the next game. What's this price going to go to? So for me, it's a lot harder to pick a Panther if you want to. I would still take the biggest price in Tkachuk because I do think he is the one who wins, assuming all things are equal for this Panthers team when you vote at the end. So I like the bigger price with Tkachuk right now for Florida. However, I'm not getting involved in this market. I talked about this before the series started. Yeah. Just a really difficult market because you had 3 or 4 guys on both teams that could have one series and win this award.
Yeah, it makes sense for some teams in some situations, but it does not for others. Oh, the media with their narratives and Tkachuk and all that. But that's what we were talking about earlier on the show, where we feel like we at a sports betting network are often much more nuanced than the average voter, right? They see it one way.
Oh, yeah.
We try to overthink it, and sometimes we err on the side of complexity. Mike, appreciate it. Great to see you, man.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to dinner next time in town, Gil.
I owe you dinner. I do. Dinner of your choice, just not that one place. You know what I mean?
Unbelievable.
Somo bomb, everybody. Somo bomb. Mike Somich, everybody. Gets dinner from there. It is the Somo bomb edit. We've done all we can do. Go join Golic next on the radio side. Best Bets is next on the picture side. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.